Welcome back, Skrull Nation. This is Skrull Radio on Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection. For this hour, your connection to the world of writing, peer writing tutoring, and Kate Harrington talking while the mics are on.
Sorry. Well, you're just talking about why you picked that song, and I think you should explain why you picked that song.
My name is Ryan McQueenie also. We are joined by the lovely and talented Michelle Ledbetter.
You're going to think of two different adjectives.
I give me a couple weeks. Jeez.
A couple weeks.
I picked that song because I was walking here, and it's absolutely beautiful outside, and that whole song is about being in love and it being gorgeous outside and like feeling the sunshine and having the love that you're in love with making it brighter for you just by being around.
God, you are a beautiful wordsmith.
He is.
It's a great song. Rufus Du Sol, please check them out. They're an Australian group. They're assigned to Odessa's Foreign Family Collective record label. They're amazing.
All right.
It's like deep house meets synth pop meets amazing.
You should have your own radio show about music.
About music, yeah, yeah. I know. Me and Jake Dineen want to do it. Head Writing Center 2 and Jake Dineen want to do a music show together. And we might never, but we could do it also. I don't know. It's definitely a possibility. Okay. I'm going to just remind you of guys of something, okay?
Okay.
The word of the day.
Oh.
Word of the day. It's America's favorite game show segment. And we guess a rare or uncommon word. And we do it because...
Did you learn it?
Learn what?
Not to say it. Words are the currency of life, right?
Yeah, no, that's your thing.
Okay,
that's
I was just wondering thing. If Michelle picked up on it. She seemed really interested in it.
That's fine. Like, even if you did,
it's still
I respect
her
it. It's okay, her okay, thing. Okay. Yeah,
got it. It's mine forever.
It's got to be your thing, Kate. It's got to be your thing.
Okay. You gotta have a thing.
That's my gimmick.
This week's word is prolation, which is a verb / noun.
It's a noun.
From Latin origin.
And it's a noun as a verb form, we decided.
Yeah. I'm not actually good at my job, so I don't, like, I don't know how words work, so, noun, verb,
here's a
adjective.
Good plug for one of our tutors.
So don't make an appointment with
me. Yeah, don't make an appointment with me, because I'm just going to be like, it's a word, it's a noun, sure, we'll call it a noun, maybe it's a verb, who
knows?
Do
you have a hint?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Because I have no idea.
Something a politician must do.
Ooh, that could get controversial.
Uh-huh. Oh,
this
yeah.
This is one of my GRE words that I didn't learn. So I didn't take the GRE.
Okay. And then, of course, our weekly... I'll say my weekly
graduation.
Hint. My
graduation.
Weekly hint that I want to make sure everyone remembers is that they're always topical. And this week we're talking
about...
But
we yelled at Robert last week about it being topical. So maybe...
To it being, like, overly topical?
Yeah. It was just metaphor. In the.
I don't know, man. That Robert's a robot. He just does what he wants to do.
The word was metaphor? I don't think that's rare.
No.
The word meant metaphor.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no.
I'm gonna be honest. Do not remember what the word was.
It was something and it meant metaphor.
All right, prolation, something that politicians must do.
Something that a politician must do, and maybe it's topical.
Give a speech.
I wish someone's watching on the webcam because I'm like dancing still to that song because it's going to be stuck in my head for the next 4 hours.
Writer Rufus Du Sol.
Rufus Du Sol, yeah.
Du Sol. Anyways.
RUFUSDUSOL.
Do you have any guesses? I have no
idea. I don't yet. I typically save my guesses for the end.
Okay.
But if you have a guess, Mr. and Mrs. Anonymous listener, text us in at 773-325-7341.
Or... tweet at us, # Skrull Radio, or Skrull Nation. I like that hashtag better.
Or if you are a closeted wizard who is being hidden from his wizarding life by your muggle parents, you can attach a little note to your owl who delivers messages
for you.
If
you're closeted, would you have your owl?
He had his owl, right? During school breaks. Once he got the owl, he had it during school breaks. He being Harry Potter.
Yeah,
are we all on
we
the same page here?
Yeah, okay,
I understand, cool. But I did not read
some
it.
Some people have... you.
What? I'm not even a Harry Potter fan.
What? You have not read Harry Potter.
This is the same as what we were talking about earlier, not listening to the Beatles. You get the same reaction of like, who are you? Are you even American?
I have listened to the Beatles
before.
Beatles
aren't American.
Yeah.
True.
I have
true. Listened, true. But who in America does not chastise you for not listening to the Beatles or reading Harry Potter?
I have listened to the Beatles. I don't actively a lot.
I'm not coming at you.
It sounded like you were coming
really
at
not.
Me.
I'm really not.
You haven't read Harry Potter. You work as a tutor at the Uckle. I don't understand.
I don't understand that connection.
What did you read when you were a kid? Picture books until you were 16? I don't understand.
I read...
What did you read when you were 11?
Only the Good Everyone Spy reads. Young. That's a good series for young girls.
I just threw up in my mouth a little bit because that is one of the most atrocious pun titles I've ever heard.
They're good books.
All puns are horrible.
Only the Good Spy Young?
Mm-hmm. Cross my heart and hope to spy.
So they just take words that rhyme with spy and replace them?
Yes. I read Twilight.
Oh my God.
I tried to read Harry Potter and I read the first two books
of that series, by the way.
They're good.
Yeah, I read the first two. There's four, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I read the first two.
So I just stopped after two.
They're good for what they're about.
They
you know what
are,
I mean?
First of all, okay, we're going to get back to our conversation about Writers Guild and writers groups at some point.
We're talking
I
about writing
you.
Things, so that's fine.
You just opened up a whole can of worms when you said that you came on our radio show and said that Twilight is good. Those books are horrible.
Listen, there
Stephanie Meyer is not a good writer. I'm sorry.
You're going against a lot of core beliefs.
That's true. Okay, I'm going to take a couple steps back. No, you're right.
You
got to
take a lot.
You're right. I'm taking several steps back. Stephanie, I'm sorry. Everyone who writes anything is a writer.
Also, Stephanie has made millions more dollars than you have.
Okay, that's true as well. That's true. I don't think monetary value. I don't think monetary value
it equals value.
Yeah,
right.
I don't think that that's really relevant to this conversation. All I'm saying is, J.K. Rowling is.
That writing's not that good either. It's the world building that's really impressive.
Critically,
the actual writing isn't good.
Critically. A better received writer.
Mm-hmm.
Also has proven to be a more dynamic writer with her work outside of the Harry Potter series.
Okay.
Which still waiting on anything that doesn't have to do with a vampire, Stephanie.
There's werewolves there too.
Remember when she did the book but like flipped the genders?
Yes.
That was just a cash grab. And
I don't know why you're trying to
in
fight
the second
about
book.
Yeah, so.
In the second book. I almost vomited in the second book because...
what propelled you to read the second book after the first?
What scene?
It was when he leaves and she's gone.
Who's he?
And
Edward. Edward leaves
vampire.
Bella. Yeah.
When Edward leaves Bella, the vampire leaves the girl who's just one of the least likable human beings on ever.
Listen, I was in sixth grade. Like, I don't know
why you're getting I was young. Yeah. But when he leaves and it's supposed to be like... her diary about it and it's literally just blank pages because she's so sad, and so I'm flipping through this book that I purchased with money and there's blank pages with
that.
Just the month written on them.
No, I remember.
I believe you. So anyway, we have people bringing their novels to Writers Guild.
Literally.
True. Okay. And I'm sure.
And I would just like to say that you can enjoy writing that is not going to be in the literary canon for the next 100,000 years. You know what I mean? I think Ryan is.
True. Almost nothing is going to be in the literary canon 100,000 years from now. Mostly because the human race will be extinct by then. But also because.
It's constantly changing.
Also, can you think of anything that's 100,000 years old?
I don't know. I'm not a historian.
I'm just saying.
I'll embarrass myself if I try to say anything.
I'm just saying there's only like three poetry. There's only like works from three poets from.
Oh, it's like Beowulf.
The Greeks.
The first.
Not
English.
That old.
Yeah, I didn't
That's
say
old
that
English.
Old.
We're sweeping this.
Under the
tangent.
Rug. Okay, cool.
Writers Guild.
Now I need to take a deep breath because I'm so worked up.
Because you got mad for no reason.
Writers Guild. Can you tell me a little bit more about. As far as the process, so pretend like I have no idea what it's about at all. I walk in,
get your
have my little backpack, or I'm maybe carrying a briefcase.
That's
and I walk into the Lincoln Park Writing Center and I go, I'm here for Writers Guild.
So you turn right and you go into the workshops room, but we'll always be hanging out there. It's like right by those orange couches, you know. And then we print off your stuff if you... send it to us. We print off copies for everyone. And then we have you read your work aloud Before that, whoever's facilitating that night, me or Jen, will usually ask you what kind of feedback you're looking for. You don't have to have anything prepared for that question. But some people are like really struggling with a certain stanza. Sure. So we want to make sure if you have something in mind that we focus on that. But a lot of times it's just like general feedback, reader reception, like what the, yeah. And then you'll read it and then we talk about it for like 20, 25 minutes, sometimes longer if we have fewer people. And when you don't, we also have some writers that do.
Wait, you spend 20, 25 minutes per person?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Usually. So this is like
time allotted.
Very well fleshed out. This, you get a lot of time.
Yeah. Cool. And then we have some people that do live storytelling, which is actually what I'm going to talk about next week in my little
clip.
So we don't always print out copies for that kind of stuff. So it's, we have some stuff that's just meant to be heard. So we, yeah. And we have people that bring in poems, novels, flash, all that stuff. We've short stories.
Kate.
Yes.
From your experiences. What is it like to receive feedback from a bigger group like that?
Well,
not that it's necessarily a big group, but you know, if you're used to just the one-on-one tutoring,
Definitely people pick up on more things, because you're just getting such a wide range of experiences from the people in a writer's group like that. So I started going my fall quarter when I wasn't in any workshop classes, creative writing workshop classes. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't even really that familiar with what a workshop was like. So going in and like being able to take feedback from a bunch of different people like really prepared me for classes that fit that same style, but also just got me used to figuring out like, if someone gives a piece of feedback that says like, I don't like this, but another person says I do like it, you get to kind of like decide how people are taking your own work across many different personalities.
Yeah. So we're different than workshop classes, kind of like that. We will, like I said earlier, the writer can talk during their workshop, which varies from professor to professor here, but a lot don't like you to talk. And we also give prescriptive advice sometimes.
What does that mean for any listeners not familiar?
Yeah, so I think you should do this.
Okay, yeah.
And I think part of why that works better in Writers Guild and why you avoid it in workshop classes is that we kind of have a community. Like,
yeah,
there's the same, we love when new people come, but like any community, right? We get like the same core group of members coming back after a while. So you get to know each other, you build a rapport with each other. So.
And you start to trust the people that you're with. Like, okay, I know I've seen their work. That's very impressive. And I like strive to be that kind of level. So like, I'm going to trust their opinion too.
You also know that they don't like expect you to take their advice. There's no
obligation. Yeah. There's no grade on it.
Yeah, it's non-evaluative.
I can see it now.
Little Ryan McSweeney. Oh.
Okay. Kate Harrington's first novel in her four-part series about a teenage girl and romance. Similar to Twilight, but in a different vein.
I won't do vampires.
In the acknowledgments, it says, shouts out to Writers Guild.
Oh, definitely.
Actually, we have a member that just self-published his second poetry chapbook, and he credits Writers Guild in the acknowledgments.
Jack Murphy?
Yeah, he wrote
Beware
one
of Napkins. Yeah. What do you know? The Beatles.
It all comes full circle.
Full circle.
Amazing.
You can pick it up at Foresighted, which is on, there's one on Clark and one on Broadway
is
in
that
Lakeview.
A bookstore?
It's like a cute little artsy.
Yeah, I don't know. They sell a lot of.
That was one of those questions where I said it and I just immediately was like, I should know.
It's not a bookstore, but they sell his book.
Foresighted.
Foresighted.
And you can go check out some work that was helped out by the Writers Guild. That's amazing.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yeah.
Super cool.
You guys are having a real raw impact on the greater Chicago community, and that's just incredible.
Yeah, and we also talk about events that other people are going to, so it's a big community building thing.
Our house in the middle of the Lincoln Park Writing Center. Sorry, I apologize again. Okay, I've said sorry like four times.
I like
already.
How you sped up. You wanted me to speed up talking, and then you stopped to sing a line of a song very irrelevantly.
You just gotta let the magic happen. Okay, so second break. We're gonna take it soon. On the flippity flip of this break, we will be doing What?
I don't know. Poor Robert.
Flippity clip, flippity flip.
Jamity jam.
Jamity jam. We've got another Jamity jam coming up for you. It's Meghan Trainor's No.
Which we're going to still be non-evaluative about it.
About Meghan Trainor, yeah, no.
I'm going
to try. Spoiler alert, I feel similar to her as I do about Stephenie Meyer. Okay. Meghan Trainor's No. We're going to be doing our Rhetoric of Pop segment after the break. For those of you who don't know, Rhetoric of Pop is a segment we do every week where we think that there's an argument in everything, and that includes pop culture and it includes popular music. And
I was getting ready to say words are the currency of life.
So that's not what that's a different thing. So we'll be looking at, we'll be giving a rhetorical analysis to Meghan Trainor's No at the end of the break. We'll also obviously be coming back to America's Favorite Game Show segment, Word of the Day. But that was everything you need to know about Writers Group and Writers Guild. So I think they would love to see you guys there. Yeah,
Mondays.
And Mondays for Bloggerama. Mm-hmm.
Cool beans.
And check the website for a College of Ed.
Cool beans.
Check the website for any of your writing needs.
And follow Writers Guild on Facebook. We have a Facebook now.
There you go. Like it. You got to like it.
Yeah, yeah. Like us.
Okay. So this is that chick that's all about the bass. And then we will catch you on the other side.